Thursday, October 27th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I want to take you to two stories today, and I think our listeners will see how they are interrelated. Going to the Daily Wire, they recently ran a story concerning the academic proficiency of students in government schools. The most recent results were anything but good. The National Assessment of Educational Progress is administered to 4th and 8th graders every few years, allowing for a comparison of reading and math proficiency by state between 2019, just before the pandemic, and 2022. The decline in math scores was the sharpest ever since the test began in 1990. The average 8th grade reading score was the lowest since 1998.
So, Tom, what we find out now is academically, and by the way, the United States overall, now we have some elite educational institutions that are world leaders, but overall, our ability to educate our population is rapidly declining. This scorecard and its results is one that could be characterized as a line that is plummeting with great rapidity. Now, the question is why? Is it based upon the fact that we sequestered the children for lengthy periods of time, stretching into months and in some case over a year, whereby they are out of the classroom, out of a direct personal relationship with a teacher, out of a socially focused learning environment, and then simply put in the context of their home? I think that is a valid analysis, and I believe it does contribute. The Bible teaches us learning requires a mentor or a teacher, and we learn in community best. The measures taken in light of the quote-unquote pandemic definitely undermined practically all of those factors in education. It was a genuine health issue, and what is the right way to deal with it, and how do we do so in community instead of polarization? But the other issue was, how do you handle certain dynamics? One of those is the educational enterprise. And when you read the results of the report card, you immediately say, wait just a minute, what they did in education is the reason for this scorecard that shows a drastic decline in educational excellence. I believe that's part of it. But Tom, you and I were discussing that there's another reason why. Not only was there the loss of the, quote, learning in community, direct contact to competent teachers, but there was something else that has taken place. And by the way, this may have been a hidden blessing of the educational endeavors of using technology and live streaming the instruction to children who are in their homes and their parents are listening. Another thing that I think has contributed to it, and personally, I believe this is the greatest contributor, and that is we have left education and have gone into ideological socialization of our children. We no longer are focused upon the hard facts of learning in reading and writing and arithmetic. We have now ideologically reframed the disciplines, have undermined the teaching of facts and data that are necessary to learn how to write, how to read, how to express yourself. What about history? What about math? We have undermined all of that. Now what we have is a hollowing out of the educational process by the hollowing out of the curriculum itself. Now the social sciences, dominated by the ideologies framed in neo-pagan world and life views, are producing students who do not have knowledge or understanding and therefore don't have wisdom. My final thought, read the book of Proverbs, which is a primer to parents for the education of their children, and how knowledge leads to understanding, and knowledge and understanding lead to wisdom. But you can't get to wisdom without understanding, and you can't get to understanding without laying the base of knowledge. And that's what we have lost, is the baseline of knowledge, as we do not teach, as our parents would have said, the three R's.
Harry, in our second story out of Fox News, they're reporting on an interview with left-wing outlet Now This News. In this interview, Biden was answering an array of questions pertinent to young Americans. At one point, President Biden was asked by a 25-year-old transgender actress and comic creator Dylan Mulvaney if states should have the right to ban gender-affirming health care, to which the president said, quote, "I don't think any state or anybody should have the right to do that. As a moral question and as a legal question, I just think it's wrong."
With all due respect to Mr. Biden, what he thinks is wrong is not the law of the land. The law of the land is the Constitution. And nowhere in the Constitution is there any notion that we have a freedom to, quote unquote, reassign gender. Please note his language, Tom. He says it is wrong for us to pass laws that undermine gender-affirming practices. Well, that is exactly what transgenderism does. It denies gender-affirming for the fallacy and the fabrication of gender reassignment. You cannot reassign gender through surgical mutilation or chemical manipulation. You cannot reassign gender. And when someone walks into a bathroom, their biological reality is going to trump their psychological issues at the moment. Therefore, you protect people in private situations from those who are working through psychological issues as to their sexuality itself. The reality is this whole thing of gender can simply be solved by the creation declaration. God made them male and female, biological male, biological female. That's gender affirming. What did God assign in creation the sex of your child, male or female? That's what they are. Now let's affirm their God-given design biological reality. This is why I repetitively, because I believe it's true, I want to keep putting it through to our listeners and through them to others. We live in a culture of insanity and absurdity, immorality and lethality, as we call the killing of the preborn good and laws to protect their lives evil, and a culture that undermines the modesty and security of a population because of a rebellion against the Almighty who made us male and female, and our declaration, no, we will determine what we are, you do not determine what we are, and we will even destroy bodies in our attempt to rebel against what God has made us, male and female. So, Tom, that's where we are in our society, and now we have a president who affirms it and tells us what he thinks, which, by the way, he didn't think just a few years ago. But now he thinks that way. Why? Because he is in a party, and to run for president, those were the things that he had to believe, and that's what he has believed. Thus we see the death spiral of a culture. Now, should Christians be able to stand against that? Yes, but only if they are discipled with the whole counsel of God, the Word of God, to be given a cogent world and life view, a God-centered, Christ-exalting, Bible-framed world and life view, which leads us to sanity instead of insanity, which leads us to order instead of absurdity, which leads us to life instead of lethality, and which leads us to chastity instead of immorality. But the first step for us at the church, of course, is to share the gospel of Christ, whereby men and women can be rescued from the ultimate issue, which is rebellion against God, coming short of the glory of God, and come to Christ, and then delight in giving glory to God.
Tomorrow is Friday. That means we will be returning to our special feature on Friday's Ask the Pastor. Send us your questions to askthepastor@briarwood.org.
By the way, we are getting wonderful questions, Tom, and we're getting a lot of them, so we're trying to answer as many as we can in the context of the time limits of the podcast.
We'll deal with those questions tomorrow on Ask the Pastor as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.